Hello and welcome to Inside Education. You can visit our website for podcasts of this week's and past programmes at insideed.com. My name is Sean Delaney and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so. We like to get your feedback on the programme and so do the guests we speak to each week. Please drop us a line by email to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie or you can text us on 086 8962 665. Well, the summertime is well and truly here now and I'm delighted to bring you the next in our seasonal series about teaching with the seasons. My guest is a man who is synonymous with school gardens, mini beasts and environmental studies in school. I'm talking, of course, about Paddy Madden. Having spent many years as a primary school teacher, Paddy is now retired from the classroom, but he's busier than ever and still involved with education through the Merino Institute of Education, where he works with student primary teachers, through the Black Rock Education Centre, where the website there features a section called Paddy's School Garden, and through regular visits to classrooms all around the country. The third edition of his book, Go Wild at School, has now been published. Paddy encourages teachers and children to log on to Black Rock Education Centre's website, that's blackrockec.ie, and to view some of the videos about Paddy's school garden.
Some of the activities I have up there are leaf transpiration, you know, doing a fair test to see which side of a leaf transpires the most. By, you know, you have one control and you put Vaseline on top of another leaf and Vaseline on the bottom of another leaf and Vaseline all around the leaves and hang plastic bags with Tide, and it's very scientific, and you have them labelled, and the children really love that kind of activity where they come in every morning and they want to see water or transpiration in the plastic bags.
So is this a little bit like humans perspire and leaves transpire, Paddy?
Exactly the same thing, and the children understand very well. But I think most important, it's bringing science out of the classroom. Now, we've spoken about this before, that we will never turn children into scientists if we do lessons in the class where we certainly bring out our bag of tricks in science, whether it's forces or electricity or whatever we're doing, and we are light. And we do the lesson, and then we pack up everything, and we put it into a box, and we put it away, and we tick it off, and we say, light is done, magnetism is done, force is done. It is not the way to go. You know that science has to be continuous, and children all the time have to be, their curiosity has to be aroused. You have to nurture their curiosity all the time. Every day is a science lesson, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm a firm believer in taking it outside. So that's where they learn. So that's one activity where they bring science outside. And it's a great one for actually getting them to understand how a fair tests work. Another, at this time of the year, I would bring them out to identify leaves and wildflowers. Now, you'd say, well, what's the point in that? But I say, so many children nowadays walk around blind. They see nothing. They absolutely see nothing. They see everything is looks the same unless you actually point it out, and then the wonder grows. We had a student in this college now. She's a third year. When I brought her out the first year, I remember the day so well and the amazement, absolute astonishment that all trees are different buds. Never, ever thought that happened. And she was actually... So was it sad or frustrated or what to reach the age of 18 and not know a simple thing which happens every day, which is outside her door? So it's about reading the landscape, I suppose, and about getting children out there. A walk, for example, and you know yourself, if you're on a walk and you know the different trees and their, what their use is, or whether they're native or non-native, whether they're good for birds or butterflies, it just makes the walk far more interesting.
And what about, Paddy, if the teacher, or indeed if a parent, bringing the child for the walk themselves doesn't know the names of the trees or the flowers? What can they do in that case?
Well, they do like my old teacher, Pat Carden. He was the one who got me interested initially in wildflower recognition and trees and all that. He didn't know them either. So what he did was he simply said, I don't know. let's find out together. So he had a big chart, and that's all we had. But sure, nowadays they have the internet, they have books and wildflowers and everything. What a lovely activity for a parent and a child to sit down and say, right, what have we got here? This flower or this plant, let's work it out together. Look at the leaves, look at the petal, look at the flowers. And what, that's how you do it.
And presumably that's easier to do in summertime than in wintertime when the trees are bare, or many of them are bare.
Yeah, in summertime, it's a perfect time to look at leaves, for example. Yes, and I have... I'm always amazed, you see, when I go around to schools, and I work with the heritage in schools, and I visit schools quite a bit and work with children, that very few schools have got clipboards. Now, what's that telling you? Is it telling you they're using the outdoor? Are clipboards too dear? They are expensive. Well, my solution is this. When election time comes around, I contact the political parties and I say, give us your election posters. And they're too glad they're so glad to give them to you. So what do I do with them? Get scissors and I cut them into A4 size sheets. The material is actually called Coro board. And then I get a clothes peg and an A4 sheet of paper. And then we get those sticky labels that you have for envelopes. And off we go. And so we look at a tree, for example, a silver birch, and we look at the leaf, and you know, they look at the triangular shape on the leaf, they look at the teeth on it, the apex, the veins on it, and we're bringing in a bit of mats here, we're looking at opposites, alternate, and shape and design. And then I say, I give them maybe a little story about the silver birch, and then we take a leaf with a twig, with the stem attached, and we stick it onto our A4 sheet. And having done that maybe with 10 trees, bring them inside, take off the A4 sheets, put them between 4 sheets of newspaper, pile them up in a sandwich, and then get your big box of the new curriculum and put it on top as a weight. Leave it for 3 or 4 days, take off the weight, and put in fresh newspaper. And, you know, within 7 to 10 days, you'll have the most perfectly preserved leaves. They'll have them forever and labelled, and you can have them done in Irish and English. What a lovely specimens to take home, for example, for a 6th class or 5th. You know.
And where would you go for a school nature walk, Paddy? Would you be a private nature walk? Would you go to the forest along a river bank? Where is there any particular place you choose at this time of the year?
Well, a lot of schools have trees around. It's amazing how much is around a school. A lot of, even if they don't have trees, they have hedgerows, and you can find quite a lot in it. I was in a school now yesterday in Leash, in Mount Melick, and it didn't seem to have a lot. But they had a few trees, but the hedgerow was amazing. It had hawthorn and wild privet and blackthorn and elder. And so we were able to, actually the sheets were full at the end. And so the local park, of course, is always a good place. And it's important, if you do bring them to the park, to have those high visibility jackets. They do really show that you're caring about safety. And I do think myself that every school should have them if you're bringing children outside, because they'll be seen. If they're doing trails, for example, really important to have a set in the school, I think, for two reasons. One, you're actually looking after the children, but also you're giving a message out there that you're caring for them, you know.
Paddy, you're very much associated with the school garden and having a garden in school. What can you do in the school garden in summertime?
Well, this time, if you go into bloom this weekend, you'll see plenty of what we can do in the garden. But really what I love doing is science tests in the garden. You know, okay, growing the potatoes is good, and weeding them and peas and carrots, anything that's edible, growing salads, there, that's a good thing to do. But you can set up, for example, a fair test, or you could have it set up In the spring on potatoes, for example, with different mediums. Now in bloom this weekend, we have 6 bags of potatoes. One is the control with soil. Another one has soil and dung, and soil and peat-free compost. Another one has soil and leaf mould. Another one has soil and multi-purpose compost. And another has soil and homemade compost. And they all have 3 potatoes in them. And at the moment, it would be hard to decipher which of them will have the highest yield. But the peat-free one is looking well. The stalks are fine and big and healthy looking, but that doesn't really mean that the yield will be good. So what I'd be... I'd have the children measuring the stalks, you know, if you had it done, and looking at them, and then looking forward to the big day in June when you'd empty each one and take out your weighing scales and measure the yield and record them on a chart and set up your data and all that. That's one. Another activity that we have in the garden this year, and again I would recommend schools to do it at this time of the year, is the slug deterrent test. And again, it's so simple to set up, where you have maybe 6 deterrents, you know, that you'd read about, and you'd get 6 lettuces, and you'd put the 6 lettuces in a bed and surround them with some kind of a ring. And then in the first one would be your control, nothing around it. And then in the second one would be surrounded, for example, by baked eggshells. Slugs don't like them at all. Snails and slugs. And the next one might have a seaweed. They don't like seaweed either because of the smell of salt, and it's a little bit bristly on their skin, so they don't like that one. Pine needles, they don't like the smell of them. And horsehair, believe it or not. I mean, did you ever see a slug on a horse? Very scientific. But anyway, it's supposed to tickle them, and they're... it'll deter them. And what else have you? Grit, okay, and razor shells. You know those ones you get at the beach? Just crack
the long shells.
The long razor shell. Now crack them with a hammer. Make sure you have goggles on you when you're doing it. But break them up, and you make a bed of nails for the slugs and snails. So set up your lettuces like that and get the children to record. And I mean, they will want to come into school every day. It's just amazing when children have this wonder and this love of investigation. And when they come in every day, the first thing they will do is head for the beds to see what has happened overnight, and then bring out your recycled clipboards and record what's happening, and then inside set up your data and your chart, your recording chart.
From the heart of the city, 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Paddy, schools close for a couple of months, 2 or 3 months over the summer. Does a school garden need to be maintained over that time, and what needs to be done?
Yes, but the whole point of a school garden is harvesting in June. Now, in my old school, we used to have 2 big occasions in June. One was the open day, where we handed the garden over to 6th class, absolutely handed it over. And the parents and visitors came in. The 6th class brought them around in pairs, showed them all the different plants and the wood and the pond and the wildlife and hedging and all of that, and brought them around the school as well, and brought them up to have tea and scones or whatever we had. And we just sat back on that day. And it was amazing to see these 6th class children take over as teachers for the day and do it with such accomplishment and pride and confidence that parents and visitors were always fascinated that we didn't ever go around to prompt them or anything like that. And the other was a salad party. Every year we used to bring the tables out to the garden and basins of water and loads of bread. And no butter, because that would be a bit messy. But basically, just get the children to go around the garden and pick all the... They're all edible leaves and lettuces and salads and rockets, even peas, and put them into the sandwiches. And I still see their faces and the joy of making up their own sandwich from what was available in the garden. It was just an amazing occasion. So, and one picture I just have one lovely picture of an open day. You see, we were all the staff inside drinking our tea and eating our scones and looking out and saying, isn't it wonderful that the sixth class are taking charge today? And there was a hullabaloo in the shed, kind of a melee. We saw a lot of parents around and there was a bit of shouting. Oh, then something has happened. Went out anyway. It must have been about 10 parents gathered around, and there were two boys from sixth class, and when they're having a snail race up along the wall of the shed, and they had chalk and there was money involved and the parents were participating with glee. I mean, you couldn't give out. You just had to, I suppose, cancel the game, all right, and say it's concentrate on the open day. But entrepreneurship, maybe they're working with Paddy Power now or somebody.
Good point.
Going back to the garden, you said to look after it then in the summer. Harvest everything by the end of June. So you'll end up with clean beds. So what do you do with them? Well, sow sunflowers in them. Have the sunflowers growing indoors. Start them off in April indoors in those biodegradable pots which are up on the Black Rock Centre. And then plant them out in June. Now, they won't keep the beds weed-free, but they will do a good job on it. And and the children have to look forward coming back in September to seed them. Pumpkins are another crop I'd put in another bed. And annuals, you know, lovely colourful annuals, just scatter them around the different beds. The whole idea is to cover the soil so that they won't be a mess and that you won't have work really when you come back in September.
That sounds very interesting, Paddy. Is it hard to get the children interested in helping out with the more mundane jobs of gardening, such as weeding and things like that?
We had an infestation in one of our beds one time of scotch grass. I don't know, are you familiar with scotch? But a couch grass. And what it does is it sends out these white, sinuous, serpentine roots that just take over your bed. I mean, they're literally everywhere. They go in masses. So we had the problem. And so we decided we would have a scotch grass weeding champion that year with the sixth class. So every day, two or three went out, or maybe had more, with their trowels. And the whole idea was that they would take up the scotch grass very gently, because if you break the root, it multiplies again. So they had to tease the root of it. And then when they brought in the scotch with the root, we hung them up along a wall with the name of the person who gave us the specimen. At the end of a month, we must have had about 40 or 50 scotch grasses hanging like scalps on a wall. And the winner, of course, was the child who had the longest scotch grass and root. And he was declared the scotch grass weeding champion that year. We ended up with the scotch gone completely out of the bed because they'd been so careful at teasing it around. And that's how we used to do the weeding with them. We used to concentrate on a weed a week. For example, we'd show them a creeping buttercup and exactly what it looked like. So they had to scout around and find that weed and eradicate it from the beds. And then maybe the next week it might be a dandelion. But the scotch grass, of course, is the famous one.
Paddy, this is the time of the year when you see a lot of butterflies flying around. Is there anything you can do in school to help the children learn about them?
Very worried about teaching butterflies, because they teach the life cycle of a butterfly, but very few places do you find where they actually teach the food plants of the caterpillars. And that is so, so important, because all butterflies have different food plants for their caterpillars. For example, the peacock, the small tortoiseshell and the red admiral lay their eggs on nettles. So it's very important to sort of point out to the children that nettles, okay, are a weed, but they're also very useful out there when we're talking about interdependence and biodiversity and how we need to conserve them. I mean, if you kill all the nettles, you kill four species of butterfly. And the other one at this time of the year is the orange tip. Now, the orange tip is in decline, but a beautiful butterfly. And it lays its eggs on lady smock, or cuckoo flower, which is getting very scarce because of drainage. It likes wet meadows. And the other one it lays its eggs on is jack by the hedge or hedge garlic. Now, always at this time of the year, I find a jack by the hedge. I have them in my garden growing wild. And you'll find the orange tip caterpillar, just one on each plant. I just cut off the plant, put it into my caterpillar viewing cage, which I have up on the Black Rock EC.ie on Paddy School Garden, and just observe the caterpillar eating the pods. It's exactly like the pod itself. The caterpillar is a very good example of camouflage. And then after a few weeks, it changes into chrysalis, which dangles down, and it stays like that until the following April. So you're talking about patience and waiting and watching. So that's a very good one to do. And the import is so important that they studied the food plants. For example, the brown butterflies, they lay eggs on meadow grass. And if we don't have meadows in our gardens and in our schools, those butterflies will become extinct, because they caterpillars will not they will not survive on short grass. They'll be looking for meadow grasses. So it's important to keep a corner of the school, maybe, or your own garden. Just let it cut it once a year and let it let the grasses grow. For I think there are 7 species of brown butterfly in Ireland that depend on tall grasses. That's important to make children aware of that.
Paddy, you're often associated with as being a champion of the mini beasts. What are the mini beasts up to in the summertime?
Well, it's a good time to investigate them, because there are plenty of them around. You could set up a pitfall trap under a tree, just dig a hole and put a flower pot with a hole in the bottom of it and a little bit of bait, maybe like a bit of banana. Don't use meat, because it might attract vermin. Put a slate on top of a stone to create a roof, and leave it overnight. And you'll be amazed what will creep in there during the night time, so the children come in next day and look at their pitfall trap and investigate the mini beasts. And the other one would be a bubble wrap trap. What you do is you tie bubble wrap around a tree and then tie black polythene over that and leave it for maybe a week. So what happens is insects, mini bees are like us, they like duvet days. So what they do is they creep up. Oh, isn't it lovely under the bubble wrap? It is so nice in here. Now the little crevices, and so warm, and it's safe, feels safe, and it does the black polythene, so there's no light let in. If you were a mini beast, you'd find out that one. And then after a week, maybe just put a white sheet under the tree, remove it very slowly, and the children will be agog watching as you remove the black polythene and then the bubble wrap, and see what falls from the trunk and what creatures have been having duvet days. That's another good one.
And what kind of creatures might be there?
Well, you'll find wood lice, I suppose, would be ones. You'll find centipedes. They'll anywhere you have wood lice, you'll find centipedes. You'll find maybe little slugs and snails might crawl up there. Might get a millipede up there too, if it's down near the ground. Those are the kind of creatures.
In summertime, Paddy, schools are closed for some of the time. Is there anything that parents can do to help their children appreciate the summer season?
Well, again, I suppose getting children out to walk anyway. You know, walking is a wonderful way of reading nature, isn't it? Whether it's in the park or by the seaside. And just stopping and looking and wondering with the children. Instead of just passing everything by as if it wasn't there, and being in a hurry, 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 hurry. That's the detriment of education. Education is all about slowing down, looking, pondering, and saying, I wonder why. Do that with the children.
Finally, Paddy, your book is called Go Wild at School and it's just been republished. Who is that book for?
The book is for everybody who wants to create a wildlife garden. Of course, the big word that's gone now, that it's a biodiverse garden. Next year it'll be a different word. But anyone who wants to enhance biodiversity in either the school or their own garden, that book is for them.
And how can they get it?
You can email paddy.madden@mie.ie. It's €15 and €3 P&P. So it's €18 all in.
And that was Paddy Madden from the Merino Institute of Education. And Paddy also has a section on the Blackrock Education Centre website, and that is called Paddy's School Garden. And you can access that at blackrockec.ie, which is the home of the Blackrock Education Centre. Paddy's book, which has been republished in the third edition, is called Go Wild at School, and that is available directly from Paddy. And you can write to him by email at paddy.madden@mie.ie. Paddy Madden's email address again is paddy.madden@mie.ie. And of course, we'd like to hear from you as well. Our email address is insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. That's insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Well, that's it for this week's Inside Education. You can listen to podcasts of over 140 previous programmes on insideed.com and also on iTunes. Thanks to my guest this week, Paddy Madden from the Merino Institute of Education. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.